Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's service, the first service of 2018 for us as Grace Life Ministries. And I'm coming to you all the way from Albania, where this message has been especially prepared for you. Myself, Martin, and the boys, and together with Martinette and Jono in Durres in Albania, where we've come for the month just to be able to oversee the church while Carl and Alicia are back in South Africa, spending some time with family, friends, and with the church, ministering, just taking a break. They've been in Albania for 2 years now, which is really phenomenal. And I want to encourage you, if you see them, just greet them, connect with them. It's awesome to have them with us in South Africa. And we're expectant of great things here while we're in Albania, so please pray for us. And just agree with us that we're going to make a great impact for the Lord while we're here. But today I'm looking forward to sharing with you something that really I believe will set you up for a great 2018. On the 31st of December, I was traveling from, I left Martin and the boys at the hotel, which was close to London Heathrow, and I caught an Uber, and then I had to catch like an hour and a half's train, and then Lucas picked me up from the station and took me to the church service with Benjamin Conway at Tree of Life, where I ministered. And it was awesome. We had a great time there. It was crazy to get there and back. As soon as I finished, I had to leave the service after ministering to catch the train back. So I spent, I counted down to the new year on the train with a handful of people. And as soon as it was New Year's, the train was full again. It was a bit crazy. But when I was on the Uber, I assumed my driver was Muslim. And we got chatting, and he said to me straight away, he said, "Sir, how was 2017 for you?" And I said, "It was awesome." He said, "Oh, that's wonderful." I said, "How was it for you?" And he said, "No, it was challenging, it was difficult, but it was good." And he hopes that 2018 will be better. And I said, "You know what? I've realized is everybody hopes for a better year. Everybody's kind of like, oh, that was a difficult year. Hopefully the year ahead will be better." But, you know, it's really, the year is really what you make of it. I told him, 2017 had many challenges for me, but I chose not to let those challenges affect my joy and affect my year. And at the end of the year, it was a good year. And I just said, you know, the year is what you make of it. And that's really what I want to encourage you with. You know, I'm sure that you've got desires and you've got hopes for a good year ahead. God wants you to have a good, successful, and prosperous year that lies ahead. But it's not going to happen by accident. It's not going to happen by you hoping and wishing and praying that the new year is going to be better than the old year. You've got to be purposeful in working towards a good year. You've got to decide this year is going to be a good year for me. I mean, yeah, that was one of my first statements of 2018, was that I've decided, you know, I said 2017 has been a good year for me, 2018 is going to be even better. And how do I know before I even started the year? I know because I've decided. You know, you've decided already whether this year is going to be a good year or a bad year. And it not only in a willful decision, but also in your what you're doing with your year already. Because there's certain things that if you do them, they're like keys. They will unlock a successful year for you. And my desire, I know God's desire for you and for us as a ministry, for us as a church, is that 2018 would be a successful year. It would be a prosperous year. I'm believing that this is going to be our best year yet as a family, as a church family. And I'm believing it's going to be your best year yet. But you've got to believe for it too. You have what you believe for. Okay? Yeah. So let me ask you a question. What is it that you want to accomplish this year? What do you desire this year? A lot of people are kind of just, well, you know, if anything good happens, that's awesome. I'm just kind of hoping for the best. That's not a desire. You know, what do you desire? What is it that you want out of 2018? And I'm not just talking about carnal things like more money, more this, more that. You know, those things can be included, but I'm talking about, do you want it overall to be a good year or a bad year? Yeah, let me say it like this. You know, a good year doesn't just happen to you. A bad year doesn't just happen to you. Bad things might happen to you this year. Good things might happen to you this year. But You determine whether this is going to be a good year or a bad year in spite of the good or the bad things that happen. You know, as believers, we've got to realize that, you know, we've got promises from the Lord that will if we stand on them, if we take them, it's going to guarantee us a good year. For example, Romans 8:28, you know, all things work together for our good because we love God and are called according to His purposes. And so, you know, my constant declaration is it doesn't matter what happens to us, it's going to work out for our good. You know, if something starts going wrong, it's going to work out for our good. It's going to turn out better than we expected. God is working behind the scenes, not to cause problems, but to ensure that things work out for our good. And so I want to encourage you, have an attitude of things work out for me always because I'm a child of God, because I love God and because I'm called according to His purposes. Okay, so what are your goals? What do you desire? It's not wrong to have a desire or a desired outcome for the year. You know, Mark 11:24 says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you've received them and you shall have them. Okay. What things soever you desire, when ye pray, believe you've received them and you shall have them. And so, you know, the point there is that you need to have a desire, but you don't just desire something. You need to turn that desire into a prayer and a faithful prayer. And when you turn that desire into a faithful prayer, it can you will see it manifest. You will see the results of that desire. You'll see it come to pass. So we need to turn our desires into faithful prayers. Not a prayer like, oh God, I wish and I hope and I pray that this is going to come to pass this year. Please God. You don't just beg God for something to happen. You know, it says that what things soever ye desire, when ye pray. Father, I thank you that this is it in the name of Jesus. When ye pray, believe you've received it. That's faith. That when you've asked, you know it's granted to you. You know that your request is granted. When you pray, believe you've received and you shall have it. So you've got to believe you've got it. You've got to declare that you've got it. You've got to give thanks to God for the answer before you see the answer. That's faith. So you turn your desire into a faithful a prayer and you'll see your desires come to pass. Yeah, I believe that that's a good word. You know, there's certain things that you shouldn't desire this year. There's certain things which are bad for you. There's certain things which are good for you and you should desire this year. And then there's certain things which would just be neutral, which are neither good nor bad. You can desire them, but it's probably mostly just a distraction. You've got to kind of just discern what should you put your attention and your focus on this year? Because you've only got so much energy, you've only got so much attention, so much, you can't afford to pay attention to everything. Let me put it like that. You don't have enough focus and energy to pay attention to everything. And the world is marketing to you and trying to get you to focus on what they want you to focus on. And so you've got to make a decision. This is what I'm going to focus on this year. You know, there's going to be great things on the television this year, great series, there's going to be great movies coming out, and it's not wrong to watch them. But if that's your focal point, you're focusing on those things to the exclusion of good things that God wants you to focus on, which will actually not only be a blessing to your life, but set you up for success. So what are you focusing on? It's really important. You know, what are your goals for this year? What do you desire to achieve this year? Okay, it's not just about being ambitious. It's about believing for something. It's about wanting to have a better year than the previous year. You know, one of my desires for this coming year. Well, let me rewind and say, in the beginning of last year, one of my declarations and desires was by the end of this year we're going to be debt free. You know what? A few weeks before the end of the year, we were completely debt free. We didn't tell people we were in debt, but by the end of the year, we were completely debt free. You know, that was a desire of ours, and we declared it. You know, we should have still been paying off the debt that we had for another 2 years. And by the grace of God, we had a miracle where we were able to pay it off much quicker than what was expected. We even got a discount on paying it off because we were able to pay it back so quickly. You know, what do you desire this year? Do you, it's a good thing to desire to be debt free. This year, I'm desiring that we're going to plant more churches. I've got specific church plants on my heart. And you know, I'm not just kind of, God, I hope we plant a church. I'm purposefully planning and preparing for those church plants. Because we need to reach more people. That's the biggest thing that we as believers need to be focused on, is reaching people for Jesus. And that's, as a ministry, what we're focusing on. So we want to plant more churches. We want to plant more churches in South Africa, in your areas, if you've traveled from far to this location. We want to plant churches in your area so that you can help reach people in your area. But we also want to plant churches in unreached nations. We want to help further establish the Albanian church so that the Albanian church can reach Eastern Europe. That's a good desire to have. We're not just kind of going through life and just waiting for something to happen. We're making things happen. Don't let 2018 happen to you. Don't let this year just happen to you and you're like, oh, it really was a good year or a bad year or a tough year or whatever. Make sure, be purposeful and make you happen to the year. Make sure you happen to the year. You make it a good year. Okay, let's look at Matthew chapter 16, 26. And when we're reading this, think about, what are your goals for the year? Okay, think about, what do you desire? Matthew 16, 26 says, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Okay, that's the New King James Version. The easy to read says, It is worth nothing for you to have the whole world if you yourself are lost. You could never pay enough to buy back your life. Now, I think it's important to note here that as believers, our definition of success is different to the definition of success in the world. Okay? Our definition of success is different. Success doesn't equal fame, fortune, happiness. Okay? I believe that success is part of that. But true success, I believe, is firstly having relationship with God, fulfilling His calling for your life, walking in your destiny, and the riches, and even the fame, comes after that. Now, a lot of people, a lot of Christians even, their goal will be, I want to make more money this year. Some people's goals will even be, I want to be famous. And you might not say that directly, but you're wanting fame in a sense of being a celebrity or a sports star or whatever. You're aiming for that. You want to do something like that which would bring fame. Fame might not be the end result, but you're wanting to do something that would bring fame. And it's not necessarily wrong, but it's the wrong approach. Many people are aiming at riches, at success, like the world determines it. And that's the wrong, it's putting the cart before the horse and not the horse before the cart. Okay, so what I want you to see is that, we'll get to this in a moment, but Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So if we seek first God's kingdom, everything else is added unto us. What is it talking about, everything else? Well, in context, Matthew chapter 6 is talking about, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat, drink, or about your body, what you're going to wear. It's talking about provision. Don't worry. Most people are like, well, I've got to make more money to provide better for my family this year. It's an honorable desire. But if you aim for that, you might get it, but this is why the scripture is so significant. What profits it a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Not be saved. Okay, lose your joy even. There's two ways of interpreting that verse. It's either you're not saved, but you have all the success of the world. But what good is that? Because one day you're going to die and you can't take your success with you. The other way to look at it is maybe you are saved, and you gain the whole world, but you lose your soul. You gain finances, you gain wealth, but you lose your joy. What good is that? What good is it to have all the money in the world and not be full of joy? What good is it to have all the money in the world and lose relationships with your family, lose your health? A lot of people spend the first half of their year losing their health and their relationships with their family in order to try and make money. Then they make their wealth, they're wealthy and all of this, and then they spend the last half of the year spending their wealth on their family, which doesn't want to know them, and trying to buy health back. You know, spending it on medical bills and trying to be young again. And you know, it's just messed up. God wants, you know, being a success is having knowing God and walking in your destiny, walking in your purpose, walking in your calling. And that is, you know, to not earn money or make money by losing your health and losing your joy and losing your family. God wants you to make, you know, create wealth while you're enjoying your family, enjoying your health, and living a life, the abundant life of joy. The abundant life is the life which Jesus came to give us, and it starts now. It doesn't start one day when you've got lots of money. You can enjoy the abundant life without lots of money. So, you know, is it worth it? Sorry, it is worth nothing for you to have the whole world, but for you yourself to be lost. Okay, you can aim to be successful in the world. You can aim to have more money and more stuff, a better position, good social status. You can aim to be a celebrity, a sports star, but it's useless if you're lost or you lose your joy trying to get there. God's got a better way for you to be successful, and it's by seeking Him first, seeking His righteousness first. And then success comes from within. It comes like that. You don't have to chase success. The blessing of God, you can chase after being blessed and living a blessed life. But the blessing should be chasing you down. Firstly, Scripture says that you are blessed with all spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:3. But the blessing is also something which hunts you down, which chases you down. Not the other way around. So if you want to be successful this year, yeah, you know, I was meditating on this and I realized that there's a couple things that you need to accept, that you need to recognize in order to be successful, in order to be truly successful. Okay, number one, and this really counters a religious cow, a religious sacred cow, and that is that you got to realize and accept that God does want you to be successful. So many people do not believe that God wants them to be successful. They kind of think that maybe, you know, I hope God wants me to be successful. Maybe God wants me to be successful. You know, and then when they suffer, you know, with a lack of finances, with a lack of being able to provide for their families, they kind of think that it's God teaching them something. You know, that's a lie from the pit of hell. God doesn't put you through tough times to teach you something. You can learn something through tough times, definitely. But God doesn't bring tough times across your path. And this year, in 2018, He hasn't prepared tough times for you to teach you something so that you can develop your character and be a better person. He's given you His Word to be able to learn and to be able to grow. And for you to be able to learn what you need to learn. So you don't need to learn through tough times. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So what this is saying is that God's given us His Word to correct us. He doesn't use tough times to correct us. He will teach us something in a tough time, but He doesn't send the tough time. He wants us to learn things, but He instructs us in righteousness through the Word, not through challenges and suffering and difficult circumstances. Okay, for God so loved the world, John 3:16, that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. You know, Jesus came so that we wouldn't perish, so that we wouldn't suffer. He came so that we would have eternal life. What is eternal life? It's relationship with God, John 17 verse 3. But it's also the abundant life, John 10:10. It's a quality life, it's a good life. God's heart and His will for you is that you don't suffer, but that you have a good life. Okay, and you've got to believe that. The third book of John, chapter 2, or verse 2, chapter 1, there's only one chapter. It says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. And what the writer is saying is that it's God's will for us. It's His desire for us that we would prosper in all things, not just some things. He wants you to prosper in your business. He wants you to prosper in your relationships. He wants you to prosper in your family. He wants you to prosper in your health. He wants you to prosper in your finances. He wants you to prosper in everything that you put your hand to. You know, one of the promises that you have is that whatever you put your hand to shall prosper. But you've got to believe it. When I touch something, I believe it's going to prosper. That's why I can do so many different things and I can do them successfully. Because I have this attitude, it's a belief, it's a desire, a strong belief and conviction that because of God in me, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I'm not holding back and think, oh, I hope this is going to work out. If I'm going to do something, I know it's going to work out. And I know it's going to be good because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And everything that I put my hand to shall prosper. It's not maybe prosper, it shall prosper. So God desires that we be in health and prosper even as our soul prospers. That's saying that He wants us to do well in business, as I said. Even in our health, He wants us to have physical wellness. As our soul prospers, He wants us to be emotionally well. Depression is not God's will for you. Depression is not God's will for you. Okay? He wants you to be abundantly full of joy continuously because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Okay? And if you are suffering with depression, there's no condemnation. He's not mad at you. I'm not mad at you. All I'm saying is you don't have to be depressed. Okay? Depression is not God's will for you. You were created for something specific. And you know, this is something else you've got to accept if you want to be successful, is that God created you to do something specific, not just to exist and earn money, to pay bills. Praise God that we don't just exist to pay the bills, to earn money, to pay the bills. But we were created for something significant. Okay, look at 2 Corinthians 4:18. 2 Corinthians 4:18. This is also a major key, I believe, to being successful. This is something else that you've got to accept. Now, what have I said so far? You've got to accept that God wants you to prosper. You've got to accept that there's a specific purpose for you in this life. And prosperity, you'll have a prosperous life, a prosperous year when you accept and you do what God's called you to do. But then this is another key to success from 2 Corinthians chapter 4:18. It says, while we do not look to the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Okay? For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Too many believers focus on the seen and not the unseen. Too many believers focus on the temporary and not the eternal. Too many of us as believers focus on things that don't matter instead of things that do matter. We minor on the majors and we major on the minors. Okay? There is an unseen. And we've got to accept the fact that things are not always as they seem because of this unseen realm that we are also living in. If you want to be happy and you want to live in joy, then you have to learn to live not by what you see, but by what is unseen. You have to see, you know, what you see is temporal, but what is unseen, the spiritual, is eternal. So we need to learn to live in this temporal, but focused on the eternal. Okay, because everything we see is going to fade. We need to learn to live for eternity, not just for the temporary. Okay, living a life focused on the temporary will not satisfy us long term. You know, if you're focused just on getting more stuff, getting more money and all of that type of stuff, when you get it, it's not going to be enough for you. You're going to want more, so you won't be satisfied. But if you live focused on the eternal, you'll be satisfied in the temporal. Okay, that's something maybe some of you need to just meditate on a little bit. When you focus on the eternal, you'll be satisfied in the temporal. Okay, the reality is, like, for example, that money comes and money goes. Okay, if you base your life, your joy, your decisions on finances, then or a lack thereof, you're never going to be happy. You're going to be up and down like a yo-yo. Okay, if we base our lives not on finances and on the economy, but on God's word, will be constant. You know, God's word has a promise for your finances, and it's in Philippians, and it says that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know what that means? That means it doesn't matter what the world's economy is like. It means God provides my every need. And that's talking about an abundant supply for me. So God will supply my every need according to His riches in glory. Not according to the economy, not according to my boss, not according to my paycheck, but according to His riches in glory. I think that that's good. So let's ask ourselves the question, what is eternal? Because now, you know, a key to success is focusing on the eternal. So what is eternal? Firstly, I've already said this, but relationship with God is eternal. This is the whole purpose of Christianity. The purpose of Christianity isn't for you to obey the Ten Commandments. It's not for you to live a good life. It's not for you to, you know, give your money to the church and go to church and be a church mouse. The purpose of Christianity, it might include some of those things, but it's relationship with God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Life. Eternal life is not just living forever. John 17:3, Jesus, the author of life, defines eternal life by saying, "This is life eternal, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So, relationship with God is what eternal life is. Eternal life is knowing God, relationship with God. And that is something eternal. When you die, you're not going to take your house and your cars and your job and your title and your position, you're not going to be able to take anything of that with you. You will have your relationship with God when you get to heaven. And it's a sad thing to say, but a lot of believers, because they're so focused on the scene and they're not focused on their relationship with God as they should, one day when they're going to get to heaven, they're not really going to know who God is. They'll know who God is maybe because of His glory, but they're not going to run up to Him and give Him a hug like He would expect you to. They might fall flat on their face and go, "Oh, I'm so unworthy," because they don't know the true nature of God. They haven't grown in their relationship with God. You know, I trust for all of us that when we get to heaven, it's not going to be like, "Hey, pleased to meet you. Yeah, I'm Shane, God," and you have to introduce yourself to God. But it's like, "Hey, God, it's so awesome, you know, to be here." You know, that's God's heart for us, is that we would, when we get there, know who He is. Okay, so that's one of the first things of what is eternal. The second thing I would say is, you know, we last forever. Your body's not going to last forever, but you're a spirit being living in a physical body, having a physical experience. Okay, so as a spirit being, you're going to last forever, which means people are eternal, which means relationships are eternal. Time, money, and energy spent on loving people, on investing into relationships, on investing into people, on being a good husband or wife, mom or dad, on being a blessing to your family, to your church, and to your friends. It's not wasted, okay? That time, money, and energy is an investment into eternity. You know, when you're giving money into the offering at church, you know, it's not a waste, because we're using that money to invest into people's lives, to reach more people, and to plant more churches. We're impacting people's eternal lives. There's nothing wrong with feeding schemes, okay? You can use a feeding scheme to be able to reach people. But there's a lot of welfare organizations which are helping people in the here and now, and then they still burn and go to hell. And that's strong, but it's the truth. What good is it that, hey, we help people out of their suffering now, but we don't help them out of the suffering for eternity? Both are important, but we cannot just focus on helping people alleviate their suffering now, but then they die and they suffer for eternity anyway. Rather suffer in this life and not in the afterlife. Anyway, so people are eternal. We need to invest into relationships. What is eternal? God's kingdom is eternal, and I've already spoken about this, but time, money, and energy invested into the kingdom is an eternal investment. You know, your destiny is an eternal matter. I don't know if you've ever thought of it like that. Your destiny is an eternal matter. And so you fulfilling your destiny is you investing into eternity. That's powerful. You need to focus on fulfilling your destiny because your destiny is an eternal matter. You know, watching the latest series is not an eternal matter. I like watching TV. I like watching, you know, a good series or a good movie and things like this. But, you know, I can't spend hours upon hours doing it because life passes you by. It's a distraction for a lot of people, and it can be a distraction even for me if I just watch TV or series instead of focusing on fulfilling my calling. Time spent reading and studying the Word is an eternal investment because it helps me to get to know God better, and it brings me revelation which blesses my life and helps me to share with you so it can bless you. What is eternal? Focus on that. And it's not wrong to go and water ski or go on a hike and, you know, have fun. It's not wrong to do those things. Those things bless us now and they refresh us now. And we need to focus on being refreshed and rest. And God wants us to have fun in this life. He does. But we need to have a balance and focus on the fact that, hey, there's an eternity at stake here too. Okay? So, yeah. Another thing which really just blessed me, which I want to share with you, is that the spirit precedes the physical. Okay, God is a spirit. And God, the spirit, spoke the world into existence by saying, let there be light. And there was light, and he spoke the rest of the world into creation. But God is a spirit, and he spoke the world into existence. Okay, Ephesians 1 verse 3 says that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in the heavenly realms. You know, a lot of people look at that. You might look at that and go, well, yes, you know, I've heard that I'm blessed with all spiritual blessing, but it's spiritual blessing. It's not physical blessing. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. It's not in the physical realms. So, yes, I'm blessed, but, you know, it doesn't mean my finances is going to be good. It doesn't mean my health is going to be good or my joy is going to be good. It means that in my spirit, I'm perfect. Yeah, God doesn't just bless you spiritually so that you can be spiritually blessed. He wants you to be physically blessed. What I want you to see is God, the Spirit, spoke the world into existence, and the world is in existence because of the spiritual. Okay, so what is spirit? He spoke the world. The physical, what we see, came from the spiritual, the unseen. Okay, so God, the Spirit, spoke the physical into being. We also have God-given authority to speak, and it has a creative force to speak our worlds into existence. You might not realize this, but your life is largely the result of what you've spoken, what you've declared over yourself. This power of life and death in the tongue, Proverbs 18:21. The power of life and death is in the tongue. And so, you know, you speaking out and your words are creating your reality. Okay, you are firstly a spirit being, and you have God ordained authority to release what is in the spiritual into the physical. God is a spirit, and he spoke the world into existence. The speaking was the doorway between the spirit and the physical. You have all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Now, through your speaking and declaring, you release those spiritual blessings into the physical reality. So healing, I'm healed in the spirit, 100% healed. Now my words release that power into the physical. In the name of Jesus, I declare healing in my body. I release what is in the spirit into the physical right now in the name of Jesus. That's how we release what's in the spiritual, the blessings in the spiritual, into the physical and make them a physical reality. Okay, so how to be successful? Speak life. How to be successful? Speak words that create the reality that you want to live in. Okay, that's one thing. Another thing on how to be successful would be Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What that basically means is that you need to keep God and relationship with him the main thing in your life. You need to prioritize God and his kingdom, not you and your kingdom. You need to, it's talking about valuing what God values, prioritizing what God prioritizes. It's talking about putting him first and foremost in every area of your life. You know, a practical way of how you can do that is in your finances, before you do anything with your paycheck, give a portion to God. You purpose in your heart how much you want to give, and you give. You give purposefully. You give from your heart. You give with joy. But by you giving first and foremost to God, you're prioritizing God and you're saying, God, I'm inviting you into my finances by seeking you first in my finances. Give a portion of your day to God in the beginning of the day. Just become silent and just spend some time with Him. Study the Word. Seeking first the kingdom of God is prioritizing God. Okay? Relationship with Him. Yeah, I want to encourage you. You might have goals to get into gym this year and to do this and do that and the next thing. I want to encourage you to become spiritually fit. Yeah? Physical exercise profits a little, but spiritual discipline, the spiritual life, godliness profits much. It profits much more. Okay, so what I want to encourage you to do is get into a discipline of reading the Word daily, of spending time with God daily. You know, if you don't read the Word daily, you shouldn't feel condemned. You should feel hungry because it's our daily bread. So I want to encourage you, get a Bible app, get the YouVersion Bible app, start a Bible reading plan, and get into the Word daily and allow it to refresh you and nourish you. You know, we need to seek first His righteousness. That means we're not seeking to establish our own rightness with God, but we're accepting the fact that He's made us right through Jesus. There's much that we can say about that, but I need to move on. Now, when we put all these truths into motion, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, when we put that into motion, we see our physical reality impacted with all these things are added unto us. How to be successful this year? Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Renew your mind according to God's word. Renew your mind. Change your way of thinking. Get into the word and start to think like God thinks. That will enable you to be transformed. When you start thinking like God thinks, then you start to speak like God speaks. That's faith. And then you'll start to see transformation in your life. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. I want to read that quickly. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 is another key to success this year for you. Galatians 6, verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Okay, for if he sows to his flesh, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Do not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." So what I want to encourage you with that is to sow and don't give up sowing, but sow continually. Yeah, you sow towards the harvest you want with the words that you speak. You sow with your finances. You sow with your time. But you need to sow in doing the right things and all of that. Sow continually towards the harvest that you desire, because you will reap of what you sow. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So if you want to reap better results this year, sow better seed. Amen? And I want to encourage you with the last thing. And that is, you know, it says there in that scripture, don't be weary in doing well, because at the right time you will reap. You know, that means it's talking about faithfulness. Faithfulness is key. You can't just this week decide I'm going to seek God and then the rest of the year you don't seek God. You can't say, well, I'm going to invest into my family because I want good family relationships this year. So, you know, I'm going to spend 2 week holiday with them in January and then the rest of the year I'm just going to go and work hard and do what I need to do. And, you know, it should be a good relationship with my wife and my kids because, you know, I've invested into them through a holiday. That's not good enough. It needs to be consistent. You need to consistently invest into the things you want to see fruitfulness in. You need to be faithful in those things. Faithful, consistent in seeking God, in investing into relationships, in renewing your mind, in studying the Word to grow in your relationship with God, etc., etc., etc. This is going to be a good year for you, but it's not going to happen by accident. It's going to come as you're purposeful and as you plan your time in accordance with going in the direction that you want to go this year. I want to encourage you. God, by His Spirit, will empower you to have a great year, but just cooperate with Him by seeking Him first and His righteousness. And you'll see everything added unto you. You'll see things working out better than you expected. I trust that this word has encouraged you and has inspired you, and that you're ready for a great 2018. I'm going to hand over to your campus pastor, who's going to minister to you further. And I want to encourage you, just open up your heart right now to receive, because God's got something for you.